Li Hao and Kellen Pike make up the Hoku Award-winning Kupawa. They just got back from a tour in Japan, something they try to do at least once a month.
When we go on tour in Japan, we will be gone for roughly around 3 weeks. That's about 15 shows.
And while they do play local gigs on Oahu during the week, they rely mostly on tours to Japan and the mainland in order to make a living.
We don't have any kids, and because we're married and we do music full time.
For us, it's, well, we got this major concert event. Hey, let's plan a tour around this. It's great because we really don't have to come back home for anything. It's either we're playing music there or we're trying to play music here or trying to play music in somewhere else. But every night we're trying to play music.
When those nights are in Hawaii, the audience is noticeably different. The food, not the music, takes center stage.
In Hawaii, we're
almost background. We're background. Music. If you do private gigs, you play at a party or a wedding, you're background.
Mm-hmm. The only way you get a captive audience is if you do a concert.
Which is usually what they do on the road. With their Japan tours especially, the shows are more focused, intimate.
You have a captive audience. You are the focus of their attention and you're not the background. They have come to see you and they're quiet, that all attention is on you as the performer. And it's such a different experience.
I do think that there's much more of a globalism aspect to being a Hawaiian musician these days.
That's John Osorio, professor of Hawaiian studies at UH Manoa.
Very few of the people I know whose careers as musicians are the primary sort of source of their income and the primary focus of their attention. I know very few of those musicians who don't assume that they're going to have to go to Japan or Australia or, you know, to the United States.
Osorio, also a well-known musician and composer, remembers when he used to perform around the islands back in the 70s. He says it was an exciting time to be a Hawaiian musician.
And there just seemed to be a really great audience of people who wanted to hear this kind of music. These wonderful nightclubs outside of Waikiki that really catered to local audiences had this kind of local music that really, really belonged to us.
Robert Casimiro also remembers those older days. He's half of the Brothers Casimiro, the award-winning and highly successful musical duo. He says local musicians are trapped in a niche he calls sundown music.
It'll start somewhere between 3 and 5, and by the time the sun sets, it's gone. You don't find any place else where you can literally go. Now, of course, there are exceptions, certain hotels, little clubs and stuff, but as compared to what we had, quite a dismal amount of venues available today.
But even Casimiro has to rely on touring. He plays in California, the Pacific Northwest, and even as far as Virginia and New York. He says Japan, especially, has been a huge market for Hawaiian music.
When hula started its boom in Japan, and the teachers there started wanting to do songs that were happening now, and that really helped to get a lot of us over there.
That trend continues today, along with increased composing in the Hawaiian language, reinvigorating a tradition of Hawaiian music. Again, John Osorio.
I think we're sort of moving back to that kind of era in which, you know, the musicians were saying something to us. They were clearly a part of us. They weren't bigger than we were. They weren't drawing us to them by their mystique, but by their talent, by their skill, and by, you know, the beauty of their performances. And I think it's a healthier place for music, really.
Even if there are fewer places for local fans to share in that experience. Molly Solomon for HBR News.
Bombay, aya awa.